He nodded at the scattered stones of the cemetery. "I'm sorry," he said, "for what I said. I didn't mean it. I was trying to make Dad angry so I could be."
"Don't ever say it again," Nora told him. "That your life's not worth it. Don't ever, ever let me hear that again. Don't think it either."
"I won't," he said. "I'm really sorry."
"I know you're angry," Nora said. "You have a right to whatever life you want to live. But your father's right, too. There will be certain conditions. Break them, and you're on your own."
She said all this without looking at him. And when she turned, she was shocked to see his face working, tears on his cheeks. Oh, the boy he'd been was not so far away after all. She hugged him as well as she could. He was so tall, her head only reached his chest.
"Look, I love you," she said into his smelly shirt. "I'm so glad you're back.
And you really, really stink," she added, laughing. And he laughed, too. She shaded her eyes, glancing across the field at Bree, closer now.
"It's not far," Bree called. "Just down the road a bit. She says we can't miss it."
They got back in the car and traveled once more along the narrow road through the rolling hills. Within a few miles, they began to glimpse white buildings through the cypress trees. Then suddenly, the Abbey of Gethsemane stood revealed, magnificent and stark and simple against the rolling green landscape. Bree pulled into a parking lot beneath a row of rustling trees. As they got out of the car, bells began to ring, calling the monks to prayer. They stood listening, the clear sound fading into the clearer air, cows grazing in the near distance, and clouds floating idly overhead.
"It's beautiful," Bree said. "Thomas Merton used to live here, did you know that? He went to Tibet to meet the Dalai Lama. I love imagining that moment. I love imagining all the monks inside doing the same things day after day."
Paul had taken off his sunglasses. His dark eyes were clear. He reached into his pocket and spread some small stones on the hood of the car.
"Remember these?" he asked
as Nora picked one up, fingering the smooth white disc with a hole in the middle.
"Crinoids from sea lilies? Dad taught me about them that day I broke my arm. I took a walk while you were in the church. They're all over the place out here."
"I'd forgotten," Nora said slowly. But then it came back in a rush. The necklace Paul had made, and how worried she'd been that he'd get caught in it and choke. The sound of bells faded in the clear air. The size of a shirt button, the fossil was light and warm in her hand. She remembered David lifting Paul and carrying him from the party, setting his broken arm. How hard David had worked to make things good for them all, to make things right. And yet somehow, it had always been so difficult for all of them, as if they were swimming the shallow sea that once had covered all this land.